back. That is going to be water retention.
Right. So. Right. As I just, you know, and this is a lot closer to their house than what these pictures look like.
Well, no, that,
geez, what is that? Call our meeting to order.
15 feet of the house.
It is.
All three commissioners. And we're having just a little conversation here.
We're starting.
But we are on the internet. Okay. First, we've got payroll, I believe. Not looking at an agenda, is that right?
Motion for approval of payroll.
Second.
There's questions come up, and you just handed me stuff on the IDA.
Mm-hmm.
And are we just going to continue with what we're doing? Because, you know, we're at 157% on that line.
On that one line item.
127.10.007, and you just handed me Jim's payroll change disclosure. And
if you want to discuss it real fast, I can explain what's going on. Is that after the email that you had sent out yesterday, just trying to understand that salary position, I got to the office this morning and start pulling up old minutes of where we had agreed to reduce the salary of an individual. A lot of the discussions of the executive director and the all the positions, legislative liaison, all that, were done in executive, so the minutes of the executive are not detailed, and there's no audio. So basically what it says is that we reduced the salary of one, hoping that we'd have an executive director on position. You know, I think the notes you'll see is one position would end on 30 days past the new hire of a new position being created. We budgeted enough money for that line item, but we were shooting for a June 1st hire date, which we obviously have missed. So according to Rick, when I went to talk to Rick this morning, even though we did all the motions, at that time the IDA was managing the OED Office of Economic Development, and no payroll change order form was filled out because that was the managing department. So there was not a piece of paper filed or filled out to reduce someone's pay. So that's why that form's on top.
Okay.
Going back for old salaries, we have to figure, that's a separate conversation.
Okay, so what is the rate of pay?
The annual salary should be $45,000. It is with the payroll change form.
Presently, it's what I told you.
$54,000.
So up to this payroll, the individual's been receiving $54,000.
He's in salary as if he was being paid.
Right.
Which totals out to my rent.
$35,000. So instead of being at 22, well, I guess I can't say it. At 6 month mark, it should have been 35 versus 22.
So, does there, Bob? This may be a your type of question.
Okay,
we got a budget here with an employee amount is listed, and we've gone over that amount. Is there action? Is it all right? I mean, there's money in the budget, as Jim just said, I believe, to cover the extra cost. Do we need to make any motion to clarify that's what we're wanting done? I probably didn't ask that too well.
Is this someone underneath the commission or someone an elected, underneath the commission?
Yes. It was a salaried amount, and they've been paid the wrong amount all year. We're correcting it on this payroll.
The next payroll. This, not this one.
Not this one, but the next one.
Right. Yeah, because I already had the checks in before this all started.
Okay.
I mean,
the question is,
make a motion. Be the clearest way. I don't know that you have to make the change, but I think it's an administrative thing. If what you've already approved is the person's salary, and you've been.
It was approved through the budget cycle when we approved the budget that the new salary for that position was established with that vote.
And the person's been paid more than that?
Yeah, there was never a change. Paperwork never got filed.
It never got filed, but they were supposed to be receiving what they've received?
No. They're receiving more.
They're receiving 09 wages, and In the 09 budget cycle, we reduced that salary from 54,000 to 45,000. Okay? But in order to do that for payroll and all that, there has to be, the supervisor has to sign the paper. Well, that piece of, that form never got filled out. So the question is, first of all, I think Chuck's first question was line item. We're over on that one individual line item, but the overall salaries line item we're fine with, but that one individual is over.
It doesn't matter.
And that doesn't matter?
Well, no, because, I mean, just as long as your bottom line is not over.
Yeah, as long as you don't go over on the bottom line.
We don't do line item budgeting.
Yeah.
We do.
But if you're paying somebody,
I look backwards and to other offices when situations like this have come up and there's been quite concern about it. And actually, Jim brought this up.
Person, you brought in another person, you just want to make sure that your overall salary budget was, you didn't go spend it in.
Okay, again, my question for our attorney is, do we need to take any action about this or just continue on?
I'm surprised by this today. I mean, I'd have to look at it. I mean, I would just have to guess on what to do. I'd have to look at it.
Well, if you would have to look at it, sitting in my seat, I don't know how we can go forward with continuing this until you can explain what we should be doing.
Yeah. I wasn't apprised of this situation, so. I mean, I could guess at a few things and give you a good estimate, but I haven't looked at it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve payroll. Are we ready to vote?
Mm-hmm.
Ready to vote, Dan?
Yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I will abstain because I don't feel like we have good direction on what should be done here. Motion carries. Okay, next we're ready for P&Z.
Sir, if I may, I think we tabled it with a motion and a second on the floor prior to a motion to table, which superseded the other motion. So since this was we still have a motion and a second on the floor, I think that's where we have to pick back up. Because we didn't withdraw the motion from our previous P&Z meeting.
If there was a motion currently pending at the time of the table, then it's still pending when you reconvene.
Okay. There you go.
Sorry. Would you mind say that again for me?
Sure. If there's a motion pending at the time to table, when you reconvene,
that motion's still out
the
there.
Motion is still pending. So okay. You've got to dispose of the motion first.
And who has that motion? Because I don't remember it.
I can remember there was a motion to adopt the proposed districts as presented and recommended by the Board of Equals, Board of,
what do you Planning and Zoning Board.
That's right, Planning and Zoning Board.
Okay.
That was, and at that point you had seconded that motion.
Correct.
And that was done, Eddie, you remember the last meeting? I can pull that meeting up real fast.
It was.
Was it the second?
I believe so. It was. It's been not of this month. No, sorry. It's been almost 3 weeks. The week before the election.
So it was a Monday, the 26th.
It probably was
at 11:30. So let me pull those meetings up real fast, and I can just confirm that.
Was that motion that was Mr. Pendleton was the second, but then he'd come back and said that he didn't want to vote on it because of he wanted to wait.
Right.
Correct.
And then he went ahead and made a motion to table, and you seconded that. But the motion to table supersedes the other motion.
What you're saying is we need
to dispose.
To address
yes.
The first motion.
Yes.
To approve the district.
Yeah. I mean, we can pick up with discussions again. I mean, that's part of the motion and second.
You want those plans?
Do you have them?
You are so much faster than me, Jim. It's amazing. I thought I was close.
I don't know if he's praying or if he's looking at that
projector open.
Well, come on.
He was looking up like that, wasn't he?
Okay, so do we need a motion to pick up the discussion, or
just
if there's a motion and a second, then you're in the place where you can either vote or you can discuss. Okay.
I will open the table for discussion on the zoning districts, proposed districts.
Real quick, if I can, then what we've got before you again is the, with the exception of one district, we have the same districts that this commission met with and hammered out that they wanted to have a recommendation from our board that they were okay with these districts. And as I urged you last time, I believe that all three of you gentlemen did vote to send these to our board, and the board has sent them back. The differences are they added the A3 agricultural residential to represent the smaller farms that exist out there on smaller tracts of land. Agricultural still will be from 2 acres up, you know, but there was a break between that, and then they removed from the C1 district, they removed the special use permits from that and did take it more into the smaller residential type commercial businesses that we see around about the county.
And those changes were since July 26th?
This is the same thing we had at our last meeting when it was tabled.
Okay, so
there's been no changes.
What your recommendations.
No.
Because there's the motion that there says motion to adopt zoning districts to definitions that were approved and adopted by Planning and Zoning Board.
Yes. This would be the exact same thing.
Okay, and this is what, this is the form that I brought. So that's the same old thing.
There's been no further discussion at the P&Z.
The only discussion with Planning and Zoning was where do we stand? And I said we're on the table right now. So okay. That's all the discussion has been.
One thought comes to mind. Has anyone visited with our assessor, because he's been quite involved in this issue? Does he know we're meeting this morning on this?
I believe he does.
I believe he probably does, but I have not visited with him.
But part of the discussions with the assessor is that this doesn't supersede the assessor's job or change his job is to assess him, but he's aware, and if not, he's probably listening, or his office is listening. They usually listen in. So.
Okay. My point is, he spoke to the Planning and Zoning Commission a time or two along the way. He spoke to the County Commission a time or two along the way, very strongly about openness.
Right.
And I hope he's aware that we're meeting, because
this was in the newspaper after we had our meeting and it was tabled. I believe this whole page was in the newspaper, if I'm not mistaken, saying that it would be back on the agenda and everything like that. So.
Okay. As you all know, we have issues with different folks that complain or have concerns about us being open, and folks don't know what's going on. And so anyway.
Right.
All right. Other discussion? Danny mentioned my comment for holding off, which was the possibility of a different presiding commissioner coming on, and I look back to our experience with picking a jail side, and so anyway, I thought it wise at the time that we hold off on this and see how that played out and plays out. Of course, I'm not going to continue. I have contacted Mr. Houseman, who won the Republican primary, of course, has an opponent in the general, possibly. I don't know if that's ever been nailed down for sure. But anyway, I didn't get a response from him on his stand. But after all that has transpired, bottom line to my comments is we have gone forward on this process because it's clear to me, I believe, it's very simple that if Taney County doesn't move forward to address our code and our districts and these things, that we are very open to somebody causing a lawsuit and we go through the same problems that Stone County's going through. So, although I still don't have a sense where my replacement will be or who he'll be for sure, of course, I'm ready to move forward with approving these districts that have been recommended by the Planning and Zoning Board. In other words, bottom line, I'm ready to vote on that motion.
Okay. It's great to hear.
I have no more comments.
Any other discussions? Anybody else ready to vote?
I'm ready to vote.
Mr. Strahan.
I'm not ready to vote on it, but that's all right.
We've got time to visit. I'd like to hear your concerns.
Well, I've had concerns all through the discussion on it in the forming, real concerns about the role that we had to play in the thing originally to get it started when PNZ didn't, had took it before the PNZ board, and then they had specialized group that wanted to look at it, and they couldn't come up with it, and so it come back to the county commission. I think there's a lot of uncertainty about the way this thing has taken place. So that's my comment about the approach we've taken.
So some time back, I asked you if you were for P&Z or not. Can you elaborate on us moving forward?
Could I say that I'm for P&Z's proposed work to make decisions on the simple things that come through P&Z that doesn't seem to be able to make a decision on, and then to introduce districts and things like that to think that we're solving the problem is false ambitions on the part of a few individuals, because they can't, if you can't make decisions on a dozen different things that I can bring up of decisions that have been made that wasn't held to enforce, then I don't understand how we can pass all these other revisions in the code book and districts without having multiple problems.
Okay. James has come in, and I made mention that we've got a motion, and we've picked up the motion that was 2 weeks ago on approving the recommendation of the PNZ board for districts. You've been a part of them and been vocal about us being open and this and that, so I'm glad you're here. And we haven't voted yet, but we're getting close, it looks like, to voting on the proposed districts, 2 agriculture, 3 residential, 2 commercial, and an industrial and an overlay. And the floor is still open if you or anyone else, we've got others that are welcome also to make comments before we go forward with the vote.
Well, the problem, as you know I have, is establishing a bureaucratic form of government that's not going to be able to be controlled once it's in force. And I've been here about 13 years, and I see these things many times argued, whether it's good for the county or not good for the county. And it's always been my opinion, and not just my opinion. I talk to many people that express their opinion through me. Once the door opens and government puts its foot in, it's coming right on in and taking you over. You may think it's your household that you live in. You may think it's your private residency, but once they get their foot in, they're coming right on in there with you. And I don't know that Taney County is ready for this kind of governmental step. I don't know that we're, and I know it's the old, and it's been sold to me, it's so preliminary. So preliminary. Well, you can't have the start of a race, or you can't have anything until the flag drops, and it's just the first step of I think our planning and zoning people does the best they can with what we've had since 1979. Don't quote me on that date, but that is one of the most controversial offices there is in this courthouse, other than the assessment office. I will put it up that way. Controversial, people always feeling as though their rights have been infringed upon. That's the main argument back to our plant. You mean to tell me I have to now get a permit for this? That's not what it started. I know we have bylaws written. I just always wondered what's going to happen to the master plan once we start this. It was a big issue to get passed in Taney County, a master plan. But this action you take today, or whenever you take it, does it automatically null and void the master plan that was put together by smart, intelligent, many, many hours put in on this master plan to pass for the citizens of this county, and all of a sudden we say, pooey on it. And I understand Stone County, once they pass their zoning ordinances, plugged in 79 or 80 new ordinances, headline in the news, I don't want to quote the number, unrelated to what I've been told and the citizens of Stone County were told, we need a zoning, but they took the opportunity to create 79 or 80 new codes in their code books. So I believe this thing isn't up above the surface. I still think it's running under the surface on what the full intent of this county's role in the governing the citizens is. And as you know, the last confusion on FEMA, based on ordinances and codes and zonings, our planning and zoning department's problems they have with what we have right now, just trying to implement it. I don't see this county stepping off into a pit that always seems bottomless, and has seemed bottomless since 1979. And I don't believe the passing of these zoning regulations will have anything to do with putting a bottom in that pit. I think it just opens it up continually. So it's just another way of infringing upon the rights of the taxpayers and the citizens of this county.
James, the only option I see is to do away with planning and zoning. Is that, how do you see that?
That wouldn't bother me in the least. What we have has not been, it has been, according to paper, done as accurately as our zoning commissions and planning commissions can do, but we've got state laws against building codes. We got state laws against all this other stuff. That's the Senate. Now, this is a Senate bill that was brought up, that we don't want no more regulations on the people, but we at the local level say, let's kick that one out. We want to install more rules and regulations on it. So these senators that passed, Bob knows which one I'm referencing to, back that you couldn't vote to put building codes on individuals if you lived in a municipality, if his unincorporated areas, just unincorporated areas, could vote on these issues. But now we're trying to circumvent that law. We're trying to circumvent, why don't we let these unincorporated areas vote on whether they want zoning again, or in a different form or fashion? I would much more respect the decision of this commission saying, hey, because let me tell you, you're an excellent commission. You're a smart gentleman. But you're not any smarter or any better than the past commissions that turned this thing down year after year after year. Our zoning board, smart, intelligent, But they're not any smarter than the past. And they voted in. They said what Taney County wanted. The voters said what Taney County wanted. It was implemented. There was no lawsuits filed saying, no, this is not what we wanted. For years, 20 years, however long it's been implemented. But all of a sudden, we're now saying, from a court decision, hey, voters, you don't know what you voted on, and you didn't get what you wanted. Well, it's what they wanted for years. It's what they wanted. It's what was implemented. Never a lawsuit filed to disperse it. Never. It was what everybody wanted and what everybody voted on. This today that you're considering was not voted on and was not wanted by the citizens. It's being pushed upon them. And that's...
James, explain to me what the voters voted on.
They voted on exactly what we have today. Because...
I don't see how that could happen because the codes, I wouldn't pay any attention or...
In 1966, there's a statute, and the statute states the language that's to be there. And basically, and I don't have the statute in front of me, the question was, shall Taney County adopt planning and zoning or whatever? And that was all the language that was there. And in 1966, that passed. Now, nothing was done with planning and zoning after that time, but there was a lot of talk about getting it out. And in three consecutive years, either 78, 79, and 80, or 79, 80, and 81, there were attempts by opponents to planning and zoning to vote it out. All three attempts, three straight years, failed, and planning and zoning stayed in. And it wasn't until 1983 that Mr. Hunt, who was consulted and was a consultant, came up with our current development and guidance code for Taney County, which was adopted and began in, I believe, 1983 or 1984. And, it started in 1983 and was adopted in 1984. And since 1984, we've operated under some form of that development and guidance code as it was adopted and then amended from time to time. So that's the history of it. So,
right. And my argument to this county commission is it's not what happened to Stone County. It's not. They got a lawsuit in a relatively short period of time that they wasn't operating this correctly under some attorney's opinion somewhere. Well, if we wasn't operating correctly in 1984, why wasn't there a lawsuit by the opponents or by the that we're not up? We've got to have zoning to go with this. We had a zoning, and I can't use the name of it. Is it traditional? What is the...
Performance zoning.
Performance zoning. We had a performance zoning. Everybody was satisfied, but all of a sudden an attorney somewhere decided Stone County wasn't operating theirs properly and that the voters voted on something that they didn't realize. I'm using simple language because I can't use the big terms, that they didn't realize what they were voting on. Well, I'm saying... The same problems would have been back in 1985 as we would have today if we were improper and somebody would have questioned this before now. And like I say, many smart people have sat around and built these codes and confirmed these codes and brought them right up through to current day history. So why are we all of a sudden saying, nah, they didn't know what they wanted back then. We're going to tell them what they wanted back then. And I don't believe that is so. Of course, I'm pretty headstrong on my beliefs.
James, I thought I understood you to say that the voters voted on what we have now. Bob explained what happened, what the history was.
Right.
And that doesn't include what you said, that the voters had voted on what we have now. The voters simply voted for planning and zoning. So when you tell us that the voters voted for what we have now, that's not right.
Yes, it is right.
How is it?
The voters voted that we'll set up a commission, that we will have planning and zoning in what they voted on, that we will have it. We set it up as a county the way they thought it was to be set up, or some attorney would have filed back then. No, you're not exercising your zoning ordinances that the voters voted on. That's where the Stone County case come from, saying you didn't exercise the word zoning when you used the word planning and zoning. And that's basically what it's come down to. We have exercised the authority the way the voters voted it. We have adopted a master plan, I'm assuming. Someone said we never had, but I stood in on many hearings where agriculture was to never be be affected by planning and zoning. It's exempt from all ordinances. And it appears to me, through conversations, that that might be the terminology that's got everybody shook up. Because there's not one of these housing additions that's not built on an old farm. There's not one of these problems arose, I don't believe, because this just applies outside the municipalities. So I'm believing that in every quarrelsome argument with planning and zoning, agriculture is back in the history and involved.
Help us out with your statement of everybody shook up. What are they shook up about?
They're shook up about another bureaucratic application to their lives.
But I mean specifics. I mean, do they have any specific concerns that
sure.
they're afraid this, that, or the other will
sure.
happen, or what?
Market value that the assessor deals with. You go online after we zone Taney County, and this is agricultural. Contracts will have to be written if a person wants to sell his farm or agriculture out to have these big subdivisions come in. They'll have to be written as upon approval. Right at the end of the contract, it'll say upon approval of all county laws and planning and zoning laws. And the reason I know this, I witnessed one.
We're doing that now.
I know.
That happens now. Everybody buys something contingent on approval.
So that's nothing new.
No.
Buys it upon approval.
Yeah, approval, yes. If they want to change the use on it, they will make their contract contingent
on
approval. Currently,
if you want to do a subdivision, even
why
if you
should
have a farm,
that be? That's the big issue.
Well, that's a lot of the problem with the current system, because you don't know how you can use your property because it's not zoned in a district. So if you want to do anything other than agricultural or a single home on the property, you need to come in and get approval of planning and zoning prior to doing that. So if you're selling it to someone that wants to do that, you have to sell contingent upon the zoning being approved, and then you come in and get it approved. That's one of the arguments why it should be zoned for different uses, so that you don't have to do that in most cases, only where, you know.
Do you see any, I know you guys have seen the maps of this, do you see any huge residential blocks out of this map around Taneyville, Kirbyville? Do you see any 1,000 to 1,500 acre residential farms under the zoning map as residential?
And why couldn't that farm owner that wants to sell that for that come in and request a zoning change?
Because I tell you why. Let me tell you why. Is I don't want seven people up here telling me exactly what I can do with my place when my neighbors don't care, that they may all agree with me that they want to. They don't have any problem with you putting a subdivision in a certain way or anything else.
Sure.
And you bring it before seven people that's going to make the decision for you, and they might do just exactly as we discussed the other day, have a 6-2 or a 4-3 vote that says that you cannot have the chance to have an equal opportunity in this county, even if your neighbors agreed and didn't care what you did.
I understand, but
you still would have to do the same thing today.
Whether it's
zoned agriculture.
I'm going to tell you, the inconsistency with what has been applied in the 10-acre, 5-acre, 4-acre, 3-acre, and 2-acre process that has flip-flopped back and forth is one reason that I have my concerns that I stated earlier about P&Z and planning and zoning. if it had some consistency to it, I think what we have today is sufficient. But it doesn't have consistency, and it doesn't seem to have a support of the people that are involved in it.
Since I've been with Planning and Zoning 5 years, the standards have been consistent across the board. I've not seen a flip-flop between this and that. Now, DNR will step in sometimes in a subdivision, because if they're putting a lot of septic systems in, they'll do what they call a subdivision analysis. And the state will say, you cannot use a two-acre lot because this is going to be too much on that, and you're going to have bigger lots. That's not P&Z here. That's a state, and that state does supersede. We can make our laws a little more restrictive. We can't make them any looser.
That's exactly right.
But right now, anybody that's wanting to do anything like that, like you're suggesting with a subdivision, they come in and get approval. It would be the same thing.
Right now, the state can tell you or us that you have a lot that is, I think it's 1.5 or... Well, they've got a percentage of a lot, mm-hmm. but we have a two-acre lot, which that's one thing I never did understand. If,
it was
if
in place
the state has
area.
Approval through DNR that you can build on 1.5 acres, but our county says it has to be 2 mm-hmm. or 5 or 4 or 3 or 10. Now, it has been that way. Now, you can call it consistent if you want to, Eddie, but it has been that way in the past. Because we have, and the very issue that bothers me the most about this is the fact that we have, that I have brought to the attention, and when you talk about people being concerned, they are concerned
sure.
that they have to form a subdivision and have 5 or 10 acre tracts in a subdivision before they can build a home or supply their own family with some acreage.
Yeah. There's a lot of different rules, and they change depending on lot sizes. We don't. If somebody comes in and wants to subdivide land and make a subdivision, well, first thing we ask them is, are you on a centralized sewer? If so, they can go down to 8,000 square foot with some minimum road frontage. If they want to create 2 acre lots, that's fine. But now a lot of people come in and they want to forego having to actually place the roads in, so they say, what do I have to do there? Well, yeah, there's a 5 acre once you get up there. But it's not been arbitrary. It just depends on how the person wants to develop their subdivision. And we give them the rules, but it's been the same since I've been here. If you're under 2 acres, you have to put the roads and the infrastructure in, or bond for it. If you're above 5 acres, you have to plat it.
Eddie, I'd like to ask you a question. Since I've been in office for 13 years plus, you've been here
5 years.
Has any big developer come to our planning and zoning board prior to their purchase of the property, or have they come after the purchase taking on this battle themselves? Has anyone on the Emery Creek project, was that property not purchased, then come to the board with his development codes and development, whatever he wanted to do? Did he come prior to purchase of Emery Creek and say, hey, we want your blessing before we purchase this project for a housing development?
Some of that was under contract pending, yes, sir.
Some of it.
Some
of,
yes, and I can think of two other ones right offhand where the people came in and had contract to purchase pending approval of the project. One up on Mount Branson.
I've said.
I mean, it happens all the time. That's what I'm trying to say. It's no different now, but some people will buy it right outright and then come in. It happens both ways. But it's not uncommon and our board will ask them many, many times, do you own this property? Because our application requires the property owner of record to sign the application for the land use change. And a lot of times it comes in different from the person presenting because they have it on contract for deed with the understanding that if they can't get approval for their project, they will not buy it.
I've said, James, in most of the planning and zoning meetings since I've been here, and I've seen numerous small projects that have come just as you've said. They came before they bought the property to see if they could do what they wanted to do on the property before they bought it.
Do you think that has a hinge in market value of property?
Well, in some cases it would, I'm sure.
I don't think you've seen it that way because you don't. And until they actually change the use and start using it different, you don't appraise it differently. But am I wrong?
Well, that's what the statute says.
Right.
It says that, you know, you don't use the zoning classification.
And even people that come in and get approved for a project, if they don't go out and do the project, you don't change their appraisal.
Well, I just think I just believe that it's another infringement upon the rights of the citizens, and I know we have many people that believe if we don't do it, we're laying ourselves out for a lawsuit. But in this day and age, that tends to be the trend of government in people's lives has not become less. Government in people's lives is prevalent now and getting stronger, and this is one more step into that strength. And I don't think we have the budgetary or the personnel to implement this once the economy gets back. We may have it now because nothing's happening. Nothing happening out there in the real estate. If we were back at 95 and 90, or 2005 and 2006, how could your department handle it?
Well, in actuality, if you had your zoning districts and somebody comes to me in a commercial district and say, I want to do this, I don't have to go through 60 days of processing and everything for them to get approval. I can do it in my office within an hour.
So they don't, they don't have to go check with sewer and get approved by the sewer district and come right back to
it makes it easier to be handled. Now, when land use changes are involved, still going to have to do the same process. You know, still going to have the same time frame and everything like that. But right now, if you have a business in Taney County and you close it up and somebody else buys that property and they want to come in and do a more intensive business, they have to go through the whole process again, even though it was used for business before.
But if it's a permitted use within that type of commercial district, and somebody comes in, they won't have to go through the process. They know that they can do their commercial business there, and it can be done in the office within an hour.
Well, I'm just very proud to stand here and know that you guys are fixing to implement something that nobody else thought of that would be good for Taney County, and that this board and the planning board is the people to set the lives of the future of Taney County. I'm glad to believe that you guys believe that.
We're
in
the vote.
I want to say something else. I want to say something about the argument that we have that this is going to be a lot simpler for people in certain areas to implement what they want to do. It's not going to be a lot simpler. The fact is, the way it looks like is the old boy that's out here that gets the opportunity from somebody that comes in out of state that wants to have a subdivision on his property, he's going to have to jump through all kinds of hoops to get his property taken care of. And the guy that sits in a commercial zoned area that is got a business or something, he comes in and his gets to go through with the zoning district. But the old farmer that's out here that has the opportunity to possibly sell his property is going to have to go through every loop that there is in the county to get the code changed so that he can do it, and he's going to have seven other people telling him how he can operate his life. And he's paid taxes just like every other citizen in this county, and he has donated his lifetime of living in this county and producing and paying taxes, but he's going to have to jump through every stinking hoop that he can if someone comes in and gives him the opportunity to better his family's life.
As would anybody in residential that wanted to go commercial, anybody in commercial that wanted to go industrial, or right on up the line, that would be the case. Now, on the other hand, the farmer has enjoyed the benefit of lower taxes all of his life. And the commercial guy that's sitting there for the benefit is paying commercial taxes.
If that isn't something.
Not necessarily. Well,
not necessarily. That's correct.
Mr. Chair, can I say something, please?
Yes, sir.
We are one of the few counties in the entire state that doesn't have a traditional planning and zoning. And I appreciate the passion behind Assessor Strahan and Commissioner Strahan, but I think they're completely off base. We are not changing what we're doing. We're merely refining what we have done so we can omit some of the problems we've had in the past. And I appreciate all that's going on. This is strictly a proposed district. This doesn't change hardly anything at this stage. there's multiple steps beyond this where we'll have interaction with the individuals who own the property who can say, I really want to be commercial because we're not sure if it's commercial or residential. We're actually empowering the citizens more by doing this step versus less. And I appreciate the passion, and we could probably continue this on forever because I think that we may be at an unmovable discussion here. I would just like to vote and go on because we have other things to discuss today, sir.
I would like to say one thing, Jim.
Yep.
I think your attitude about it would be different if you had a farm out here of 100 acres over here in Taneyville and you had the opportunity to do something with it. I think your attitude would be totally different than what it is that we are looking at empowering the people, is your term, that we are looking at empowering the people so they can prosper or do things different. I don't see that, Jim. I think it is who you are and where you sit that determines how you feel about P&Z. I think that the agricultural communities in this county, which they are the biggest part of the county, have a totally different view of what P&Z does for them than the residential and commercial people have. And I also think that if it was placed on the ballot that only the rural areas got to vote on this issue and not the incorporated areas, that you'd find a overwhelming number of citizens that would vote against planning and zoning that restricted their lives. Now, you think I'm passionate. I am passionate about that, and I will stand. And when you ask me if I'm for P&Z, I've seen how it operates in the city of Branson. I've seen how it operates in the city of Hollister and other places where it seems to be who you are and who you know as to what you get taken care of. And the hospital deal was a perfect example. The city of Branson, it didn't fit in their master plan to let two ladies have an entrance to their property because it wasn't in the master plan so that they could possibly prosper from the hospital sitting there. It was the most ridiculous thing that I ever heard of, but people controlled their lives, and I don't want people controlling my life.
I just need to say one thing that Eddie said about the taxation issue and the relief of the per capita. The farmer pays more taxes than anybody in the state of Missouri. Per capita, the farmer has to pay on his inventory running out in his fields. He has to pay on his tractors. He has to pay on everything. Big business don't pay on any of it. It was passed by law that they don't have to pay on their product on their shelves, on all this type of stuff. The farmer does. So you need to enter that. I pay more taxes 3 years ago on my cattle than I pay on my house. So that statement is not very good with me when somebody talks about how little taxes a farmer pays.
Are those cattle, is that personal property tax? Or is that
real?
Yes. So it's different than the assessment tax.
It's assessed by...
But it's personal property tax, not real estate tax.
Right.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Where on that 100 acres they have to be on.
Right. I mean, we're kind of separating things out there because I pay personal property tax on some other things,
too. All I would say is I disagree with your position, Danny. I could come up with the same set of scenarios that would be just the opposite in agriculture that would hurt the farmer by not having P&Z. And, I mean, like, once again, we are strictly changing the way we look at districts so that we can help clear up some issues that we have the county's vulnerable to lawsuits. I mean, we're just taking some small initial steps, and I understand all the extremes of Branson and all the extremes of Hollister, but once again, this doesn't even affect them whatsoever. They still have their own governing body that sets their own rules within their city limits. So we're not overstepping our boundaries or our rights. All we're doing is trying to clear up some issues that we've got within planning and zoning so we can help define and help Eddie and that whole department do their job better and make the experience better for those who live in the county. I like the vote, sir.
Okay. Other discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Joe?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to ask a question. Would there be a time that we together and discuss what our next step might be.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Let's probably get some more work with Eddie, get something on the agenda, and we'll start working on a work session.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
For your time.
Thank
you.
Do you have the agenda? What's next on the list there, boss?
We got some bids, I think. See, Linda and Jimmy, law enforcement stuff, and then our landscaping, right?
And then we've also got Como Avenue we have to discuss sometime today.
Okay. We'll come back to Como and go ahead and do our bids. Y'all got it all figured out, I hope.
We start with our law enforcement supplies.
Thank you, ma'am.
Who would like to give us a recommendation?
Well, we've received bids from Lynn Peavy Company of Lenexa, Kansas, Bob Barker Company from Fuquay, Verena, North Carolina, Helligan Industries out of Amityville, New York, Ed Rohr Safety Products from St. Louis, Missouri, Taser International, Scottsdale, Arizona, and Galls out of Lexington, Kentucky. All of the companies have items that we use. Not all of them have the same items, of course, and our recommendation, they've all turned in good bids, been good companies to work for. Our recommendation is to accept all of them, and then we'll be able to make the best purchases from them.
Okay. How about a motion?
Motion to approve the list submitted as presented by Linda in purchasing. I'm just going to submit this document to Jim Hughes. That way he can just have it in minutes, but motion to you got one. There you go. Motion to approve the document as presented.
I second it.
Okay. Discussion? Any of these new vendors? Just curious.
A couple of them are new vendors. A
couple
of them.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. Questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
All right. Now we'll talk about landscaping.
Thank you, ma'am.
We had a pre-bid mandatory meeting that I had three companies show for. Two of the companies informed me that day that they would be joining together, that they would like to price this out together. And then the next company was Albert's Landscape. We went out to the site so that they could measure it all, told them exactly what we were looking for. They all had the bid, and then the response came in, and I have them on here. This will take care of all of it.
And you were talking about the hill. What wasn't done in the construction phase, the hill that faces, was it Highway 160 right there? And then some sides of Shorty Cooper, correct?
Right. Uh-huh.
This is the landscaping.
That's correct.
They finished the landscaping of the construction.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Run that through for me again. What all are going to, when this is approved and they go to work, what are we going to see happen? Where? What part of the property?
The
old,
property
starting
that's,
at Old Shorty Cooper Street, coming all the way around to.
It actually comes down from the building, what is the building over there?
The extension office.
It comes down that way, and then it starts from Shorty Cooper over and goes all the way back behind where the Sally Port is, all the way over, every part of the unfinished.
Okay. And how about on the side of new Shorty Cooper?
Yes, sir.
Extension
mm-hmm.
side?
That was the question I asked her on Monday,
this covers all the unfinished that we've done all the new construction on. I think I was trying to understand some of the. I went and talked to you because they're bringing in topsoil and then hydro seeding and then tacking it to the wall to the slope like MoDOT.
That's correct.
Does, correct?
That's
I mean,
correct.
Basically, it's a MoDOT was what MoDOT does. If I understand correct, right?
That's correct. Okay. Yes, sir.
And then over on the additional cost, both of those are for the same product, which
that's
is
correct.
Silt fence if MoDOT or MDR
if it's required by MoDOT or DNR.
That's just keeping the stuff from falling down
from
the hill.
From falling into the road.
Into the road.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So are we saying that if it's not required, we're not going to ask them to do that? We're not going to ask them to do silt fence?
How do you feel on that?
Well,
I mean,
that was a question I had for you. I mean, it's a good question. Are they doing the swell? I mean, they're going all the way to the road, correct?
Yes. Yes, it'll be all the way down. There's a piece of it that's flat that goes right to the road. Some of it has like a gully type thing to where we,
They're going to address that up there too.
Yes.
So if it goes downhill, they're still going to be messing with it. So it's not, the silt fence would just really to keep it from the road.
To keep it
but
from
they're
going to
be working
the
right there in the gully anyway, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So to say it different,
please,
we're not going to require silt fence if it's not required by MoDOT
or
DNR. Is that correct?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean,
it will be.
It probably will be, but.
It will be required.
Well, you'd think it would be from other experiences.
Well, sure, we had a silt fence up there when we were doing any of the other work.
Right.
It was considered with the county, so it's going to be there.
But it's a little different. This is landscaping, not construction.
It will be requested, though, I'm sure.
Oh, if it is, I mean, it's in there, but I guess.
That's the only question I have on it, and I visited with Linda a little bit about the cost of a being kind of what I consider a little more than what a silt fence should cost. I mean, we've got two bids here, and they're almost the same, but $4,000 for a silt fence seems to me like that's extreme for...
The silt fence?
The silt fence.
Let me ask you, can we do it ourselves? Could we put the fence up ourselves?
Well, we had did with Road and Bridge.
Well, we could just...
Had
we could just have,
on the other one.
I mean, that's a separate item, right?
That's correct.
So what we could do is... have Frank price it and see what a silt fence would cost and maybe do it ourselves. I mean, if they've lined out it separately, maybe we just do it ourselves and...
Leave it out of the bid.
So it's not in the bid, right?
Right, so that's correct. It's an additional if we wanted to add that.
So
how they
we are in control of that if we do what was just suggested.
That's correct.
Okay.
I think that's a good idea. Hopefully we don't have to, but... Okay. Other questions?
Nope.
How about a motion?
I hate to say this, but I wish that we could get a list of the an itemized list of what they're going to do. This doesn't. I mean, when we award the bid, I would like to have an itemized list of shrubs.
There's no shrubs now, right?
It's going to be hydro seed of wildflower and rye.
Yeah,
I know. I see all that. But
I don't think there's any shrubs or trees. I think that's Renee. I remember when I walked through with Renee, when we first put the bid out, Renee said she was taking the ownership of the trees and the shrubs and planting them after they hydro seed, I believe is what Renee said. So this is strictly...
So it's not included in this bid. And that's...
Because she was going to do some landscaping stuff on the hillside.
She's doing like the corner piece... Right there at Shorty Cooper, the new piece, and some trees coming up. She was at the pre-bid meeting as well with me.
I'll second the motion. You did motion.
A motion to approve Covenant Excavating. That's who you're recommending, right?
That's who I'm recommending.
Lowest bid.
Yes, sir. Lowest bid.
And Chuck?
I'll second that motion.
Yep.
So this is, to finish Danny's question or comment, this is pretty much detailed what's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Topsoil. Hydroseed.
I could get them to tell us maybe a little bit more. They're going to pack it down. They're doing quite a bit to...
Well, from the pre-bid meeting,
great.
You had a chance to talk to them.
Yes.
I mean, are you comfortable with who we're going to award?
I am.
Okay.
And you mentioned that Covenant teamed up with somebody else.
That's correct.
Who'd they team with? Can you tell us?
Mm-hmm.
Without much trouble?
They teamed with Finley Excavating.
Finley Excavating.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Where do we have a protective clause or anything in there? There's more to this than approving this bid. If they put that down, and I guess they'll be insured and...
Yes, sir.
They're bonded?
I required them to be bonded.
Okay. Here's my question. If they put this down and it comes a downpour before they can get the hydro seeding on it or get it stapled down, are we going to end up in a situation to where we don't know whether they're going to cover the 4 inches of black dirt that was down the road, or, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Well, I just part of my question, I hadn't had a chance of Linda, but, I mean, this is kind of a little unique, so we're probably going to have some sort of contract.
Right.
Beyond a traditional purchase of a line, like a Jimmy, you know, a vest or something. I'm thinking we should just work that in the contract. And maybe I'm modifying my motion that I move to accept Covenant Excavating with the, well, I guess it doesn't matter. If we can't get a contract, we can't place the order anyway. We have to have a contract
Correct.
First, so it doesn't
right.
matter. So
are we
going to
address those issues, though, in
I think
the contract?
We should. I think
yes.
I don't want to end up in a situation where we've, right. and how many times we've worked on that hill.
We just need it done and have a...
Right, and I want to protect ourselves
sure.
against them doing it at a bad time. I mean, if there's a weather forecast for heavy rain and it's scheduled in for them to get it done, and they go ahead and do it, and we end up with all the soil down in the ditch, well, I've got a problem.
I will expect them to come back and help us fix it up. So,
well, I just want to make sure.
I think we can just specify that stuff in the contract.
Perfect.
All right. Any other discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Linda, thanks for working on that.
Thank you.
Como, is that next? Are you?
Como Avenue. All right, let's talk about nuisance then.
Thank you.
Thanks.
How'd you say that, Nikki? You are? Are you?
I am nuisance.
Okay.
The office received a complaint on a property on Coon Creek from the Sheriff's Department, and it was forwarded to me. Pictures have been taken. I'll bring the file up so you guys can review it.
Okay.
You all know what this looks like.
Oh, I know what it looks like. So, what's...
And our policy is, you know, you gentlemen have to vote on if a first letter gets sent out to the property owners.
Correct. And the Sheriff's Department brought this complaint up.
It was forwarded to me, yes.
Okay.
Motion to send the first letter to the...
832 Coon Creek.
832 Coon Creek and 580 Coon Creek. Looks like there's two addresses there.
Okay.
Let me look at the... I know what part of it is, but I don't know where... Where's 580 and... Now, is this... this other deal is across the road that... Is you talking about 557? Is that what you got?
Would you...
580. So you had two addresses, 580 and...
They're the ones listed out there, Danny.
Oh, okay. I see.
I'll second the motion. Discussion?
Yeah. This, I think, can be taken care of with just without a letter, just somebody stopping by and talking to them. That is, this lady has been involved in another situation where she took and cleaned it up after.
Show the name again on that.
Yeah, this one up there.
It's owned by the same person.
No. This one's owned by this one, and this one's owned by this one. Right? Or is it in both names?
Either way, Danny, you could have the conversation. I think I understand you to be talking about.
Yeah.
But we still probably need to send a letter. And if you can beat the letter there so that there's not an undue concern on that person.
Yeah.
I think I hear what you're saying.
Well, I'm concerned about her age and everything. And what she did last time was out there, mowing after dark, trying to... Because she took it very serious, and I don't want her to get a letter and to run out and start doing this with a jeopardy to her health.
Will you do that?
Yeah, I can contact them. So,
It'll take us a day or two to get a letter out anyway.
Yeah.
All right, other discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Just so you gentlemen know, we are continuing to have daily complaints come into the office, some of them on existing nuisance cases. I've been going through the file. Currently, 68 first letters have been sent out. Nothing has been done after that. 19 second letters have been sent out. There's probably 50 to 60 that have been submitted with no pictures.
So you're about 130 or so nuisance complaints?
Yeah, I just want you guys to know this is like an ongoing...
Nothing new.
No.
Same old thing.
But unfortunately, Jillian and I get the brunt of it.
Right.
Because we're answering for the commission.
I understand what you're saying, I believe.
So,
are we...
Understand I'm continuing to work on this.
Are we... We have, I know, talked to and close to hiring an outside attorney as a special counsel, or what are we...
Yes.
Special counsel. That's on today, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've got the contract all drafted. It says special counsel.
Don't see any problems with that moving forward. That's my question.
No, but I
the reason I asked the question, Bob, is you're stuttering is...
I have some suggestions.
If the staff, if to Jillian, what Jillian's saying, if I'm sorry, what Nikki and Jillian face, if we have that step taken, that is something that we are, that they have a little hope they give people that are calling. That right. There is some action taken on, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, we're going
to
be...
I was just going to ask, are you, with all of these existing nuisances, I mean, they go back to 04. So are you going to require Dan to go out and take pictures? Because they may not
they would
still
have
be.
To be. They would have to be updated.
I think so. And
you can't go to court on something that was the condition in 04. There's no proof of anything that's
right.
in 10.
Right.
And we've, because it's like the one that we just went through, we want to be fresh before we take it to get to a second letter.
Just please understand this is very time-consuming.
It's going to be time-consuming for your special counsel. I think it would almost keep a lawyer busy half or more of his time.
Well, yes and no. The facts are that whenever those things were brought to us in a timely manner, and we went through, and half of them wasn't even legitimate, and we pitched them. Whenever there was nuisance cases that come through a dozen at a time, when Mr. Pennell would bring them to us, and we would look through them, and there might only be two or three cases that were even legit. That was, I think that when Chuck was bringing those to us, that was when Mr. Hershen was over in the other seat over there where the Western Commissioner is, and we would look through those and, you know, we could eliminate those. And I bet anything, some of them still on file or been resubmitted.
But you agree with that, Nikki? I mean, what I'm saying
the
is,
ones that
are there some out there
closed,
like that?
The ones that were marked closed from a prior employee, they've been pulled.
Okay.
So the closed ones are not in these numbers.
Okay.
So a lot of these, of the note that exist, the numbers you're talking about may end up at an attorney.
And these do not include the ones who were going to be litigated.
60, so. Even if it was just 60 cases, even if it was just 20 cases, and you're doing injunctions on every one of the cases, you're talking a lot of work, a lot of time. Anyway.
I don't disagree, Bob, but as again, and we've talked about this many times, I think if there was true action taken or there were results, there would be a lot less actions have to take. I mean, the letters would take care of it instead of having to go to court.
No, but I'd give
I mean, that's my guess. You don't know until it happens.
I know, but I'd give you an example of there's a certain one that was out on 160 that moved down on Sundown, and we've dealt with that three separate times because they'll clean it up, and then within a year, we're right back with the same people with the same problem. And we've had three separate cases on the same person that cleaned it up three times.
So. What can you do about it? There's nothing that's statutory or anything that we have introduced that can cause you not to have to deal with it like that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
And another one is just exactly like this case that we looked at this morning. This lady wasn't aware that she had a problem because it was created by somebody else, and as soon as she found out, she's out there working after dark, getting it cleaned up. We had one that was up on Round Mountain up there where a lady had her son come home from jail, I think, as if I'm not naming any names, so I should say that's what I think happened, and he restored the mess that she had cleaned up, and she's the one that got the letter then, and you know, there's a lot of confusing issues. If I ask Mr. Pennell, is it in November that we have to revisit all this in a public hearing?
That's correct.
Yeah. Oh, the ordinance, you mean?
It's,
yep.
Yeah. That's, mm-hmm.
So if there's not some things done, I can see whatever number you've got there of people showing up at this meeting wanting to know why we haven't got something done, or that many people saying, why are you doing something? Because I think you had, I wasn't at the Kirbyville school, but I think you did have a large crowd, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay. I just wanted you guys to be aware.
And appreciate, and I hate that you two girls have to take the phone calls and.
I mean, we can only do what we can do.
Yeah.
I mean, we can only work on these things as fast as we can.
Right.
Well, while we're on the table here and we're going to look at the attorney we've contacted, would it be wise to ask Nikki to work on set an appointment with him to be sure we're
on the same page?
He's doing what we want him to do and
mm-hmm.
all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the next step we need to take to get the ball rolling better.
Probably.
Okay. She can let him know that we've got a contract and would like at the very earliest time available to and let's go a little bit farther maybe. Do we look at a stack? Does the commissioners look at a stack and try to be prepared for handing over? Handing over so that we're prepared to hand over these cases when we have that meeting so he can take right off with them instead of coming back at another time?
I think it's a great idea.
So
has anybody contacted the health department to see how many cases they have that they've worked on?
I have not. And
they CC us with.
Okay, so we have a file on what they...
We've tried to create files from what they have sent.
All right, I just wanted to make sure that we didn't leave something out of the loop if we're going to try to address them. And, you know, the worst thing that can happen is if you got a neighbor here and you address his situation and right next door he has the same problem and nobody's addressed it. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know.
Okay, you bring up the health department. We're not working on, are we? Are we going to address those? Because we have, those are not complaints that have come to us.
No.
Well, on health issues, the health department has concurrent jurisdiction, so they can enforce whatever they have.
It's not something we want to work on today. No. Is what I'm saying. That's
not
I'm
unless
saying.
It comes to us somehow.
Okay. So going back to what I was saying about going through a stack, do you got a stack that
has pictures? No, I don't have a stack.
Okay.
I have a.
Are there
stack
some
of cases, but there's old pictures.
We need.
But Dan is doing his own thing over in P&Z, and as he gets time, but there are so many cases to go out and take pictures of.
How about if we kind of made a goal that a day or two before we get to meet with Bill, we each individual commissioner can take a look at what you've got available, and so that we might have a stack of. Two or 20 that we could turn over to him and have him go to work on.
I just would say that what Bob was saying, we got to have recent pictures or we can't consider them.
Absolutely.
Right.
I agree. So okay. That stack I'm talking about would have to have recent pictures and those kind of things.
How many do you have recent that have pictures, do you think? 10?
No, just this one.
So can you maybe get with Dan and say maybe go we take at least 10 pictures or something, 10 sites, so we can at least have 10 or 11 to look at?
Do you want to before?
Before our meeting.
Okay.
I mean, don't you think? I mean,
we
gotta have.
That's what I'm.
Otherwise, looking at a form is not going to help us. We need some pictures.
Not.
So maybe direct Dan to get at least 10 done before our meeting, and we can kind of look through those. That way, we can give our special counsel to the Tenney County peoples.
But he's only involved. The council is only involved after they've sent their first letter and their second letter.
Right.
So that's going to whittle it way down because, what did you say, had second letters?
These, the numbers that I gave you does not include the cases that are in litigation.
Right, but you mentioned that we had so many that had received their second letter? Those would be the ones that we'd want Dan to picture and see if there's still a case that we need to handle. Because until they get their second letters, what you're saying, we don't mess with the attorney.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan. Okay. Thanks for working on it. How about Como Avenue, Mr. Paulson? Are we ready to work on that?
I have a special counsel. You did a quick one?
I don't have Como.
I'm joking. Randy's here. I was joking. You see his face? He turned sad.
Okay, there was a petition, there was proper notice, and it was tabled from, I believe, April 5th. The revised plat, the replat, has already been filed. All of the easements that are necessary have already been obtained. It's been replatted. There is a street that currently exists that's kind of an odd-shaped cul-de-sac, but the street actually goes up and stops, just a rectangular street. As it's mapped, but that's not the way the street is. And the part that's in yellow is to be vacated. The part that is not in yellow is the part that currently exists that is the way we want it to exist after the vacation. And, of course, we've gotten all the easements that we need. It's already been replatted. All that needs to happen is that yellow portion needs to be vacated. Unfortunately, I left the plats at home. I was looking at them last night in preparation for today, and I'll get those to you, but I have a judgment and order of vacation. There was a petition filed to vacate this. The proper notices were sent out on more than 15 days prior to the 5th, and on the 5th, no one appeared in opposition. No one other than petitioners appeared, and again today, no one appears in opposition. And I have a judgment and order of vacation if you gentlemen decide to vote to vacate.
This has been going on for a while.
Motion to vacate with all the other parties that were in agreement in this situation, which concerned family, I guess, mainly, that was the owners of all the lots, and all those people are in agreement on this situation, and I've talked to them, so.
Basically, what we needed was the easements and a replat. All that's been done.
So I'll second the very long motion by Commissioner Strahan.
You mentioned the easements and replats. As the road is constructed and as the picture you showed us, that's all been done.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Now,
thank you, Bob.
Do we need a? Did you get the end of the we vacated.
That's
did
what
we get
just
the
did.
Other part? I know.
Is that the easements?
Have we received the easements?
Hold on.
Rainey, have we received the easements?
It didn't require easements. What it required was it being replatted because it was part of the subdivision, and we've done that. We surveyed, we replatted. The owners signed off on the replat.
Which is
that so part still needs to be recorded because I think it has to be vacated.
And then motion for acceptance.
So we just need a motion to accept the replat then.
Yeah.
Here's what I put in here. The order part. It is therefore ordered, adjudged, and decreed by the commission that the above described portion of Como Avenue, more particularly described in Exhibit B, is hereby vacated. It is further ordered, adjudged, and decreed by the commission that the portion of the road currently being used as Como Avenue and described in Exhibit A shall replace the portion of Como Avenue that is vacated as shown in the attached plat. It is further ordered by the commission that a certified copy of this order be recorded in the office of the Recorder of Deeds of Taney County, Missouri, once the replat of the subdivision is approved and filed with said Recorder of Deeds, and the cost herein attached against petitioner. So
I think we're covered everything.
I've covered
everything. We're good.
All right.
That sounds like you covered it all.
All right.
It's for the three signatures, so I'll just give this to you gentlemen to sign, and I'll get the exhibits to flip it on.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
You got some contracts, Jillian?
Yes, sir. I've got the contract for Mr. Bill McCullough, and then we've also got the Branson Aircraft Repair and Davis Aviation. I don't know what time that was on for.
I think they're all the same.
Okay.
It's dry now.
And there's four copies of each of these that they need to sign.
Okay. How many signatures does it call for? One or?
I believe just Commissioner Pennell.
Right.
Motion to accept the Bill McCullough Special Counsel contract.
Second.
Discussion or questions? That was at a rate of $100 an hour.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions?
Nope.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
And then what you have is a lease agreement with Branson Aircraft Repair and another one with Davis Aviation. They currently have leases with the county, and these are just new leases.
These
just
are renewals?
Renewal kind of thing? Most and then wait, before I do that, the airport board, did they review and accept and recommend? Is that what the process is? How did we get this? From Mark Parent?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's fine.
That's a good question, though, if they approved it, and I'm sure they did, or wouldn't it
Mark
come from Mark?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't interrupt
the
beginning.
Hoops, so.
Yeah.
You can call them and ask if you want.
No. Actually, all the steps have been in order as supposed to be, and now it's just to be brought before the commission, and it's something that's they've done it for 2 or 3 years now.
So it's Davis Aviation and?
And Branson John Aircraft.
Ball. Yeah. Branson Aircraft Repair.
Okay, it's just that
they're,
one.
They're both currently out there. No, Davis Aviation.
Oh, Davis Aviation and okay, gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Motion for approval of both contracts with those parties.
Second.
I think you meant the word leases, right?
Yeah.
Leases.
Well, it's under contracts and the
lease contract.
Lease agreement.
Yeah, sorry, you're right. Yeah.
It's under contracts on the posting.
Excellent.
Questions, discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
I'm going to need a lot of signatures.
Okay.
From Chuck. And yes. Here's this for his signature as well. We should probably get another copy of for his signature.
I was going to.
Thanks.
Can I bring this right back and then have you sign it? I'm going to get that as well.
Thank you, Liz. What do we have else on there?
Do we have anything else on the agenda? I had an appointment I've got to get to, and I just want to know if we had anything on the agenda that was left.
Nuisance, bid awards, COMO, zoning, minutes, and payroll. We're done.
We'll recess.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. I guess that's got you all caught up.